Parshas Kisaitse begins with the din of Yifas Toar, which we spoke a lot about in Shir. The Minchas Chinuch discovered this major comment of the Rashba on Kiddush and Daf Kaf Aleph, where the Rashba interpreted the machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel, where they say, "Hold the Yishtar Yishtar by the Bia Shnia," that it depends whether the Bia Rishana was Hutra Dchuya. So that's a fascinating interpretation. We're not going to discuss Yifas Toar anymore. The second parasha we discussed also a lot, Kisihiyena Liish. The Torah has, one would have had a Havamina that because the Pchor was born to the Snua, that the Pchor is not entitled to the Pishnaim. Why not? Just because I don't get along with the mother, so the Pchor should be entitled to the Pishnaim. So the Gemara understands Snua means Snua benisueho, that it's a prohibited marriage. And nonetheless, the Chumash says Kisihiyena Liish, that the Kiddush and Atopsin. So that was the Chiddush. You see from this pasuk that there is an exception to the rule. Even if you assume the rule is like Rava in Temura, the fact that Yavid Loimahani, Torah prohibits the person from expressing Das Kiddushin to marry an Isha who Asura Lo, so you really should have said Yavid Loimahani shouldn't be Chal. So we do say that. By Chabi Krisis, we say Taka Yavid Loimahani. You have no right to express Das when the Kiddushin is not Chal, but this pasuk tells us that there are exceptions to the rule. So those were the four different opinions, the three versions of Rabbi Akiva and the version of the Chachamim. Exactly what is the Pasuk telling us? Four different opinions in the Tanoim. Which case is the Chumash telling us, Kisiyen Aliyish, that there is Havaya? There is Tfisis Kiddushin with the woman, despite the fact that the woman is an Isha Ho Asura. The Chumash tells us that the Pchor, what is the Parsha telling me? The Pchor is entitled to the Pishnayim, despite the fact that his mother had a prohibited marriage. But the Pasuk is talking about a prohibited marriage that was Chal, Kisiyen Aliyish. What if a man lives with his sister and is Ein Kiddushin Tofsin, and the firstborn child is a Mamzer, so Taki doesn't get Pishnayim? The Mamzer doesn't get Pishnayim. So there's a Shilta Gibayrin on the side of the Rif. You have the comments of the Shilta Gibayrin. Shilta Gibayrin is usually a Likut from Rashi, Tosfos, the Rosh, the Riyaz, different Rishonim. And once in a while he says his own comment. So here he has his own comment. He assumes that Davar Pashut, a fantastic Kiddush, that the Mamzer is not entitled to Pishnayim. Because the Tanoim, he only has a suffix whether the child who is born after the Mamzer is entitled to Pishnayim. But he's not the Pchor. The first one was the Mamzer. And then the man lives with a different wife, and he has regular children. So he has a suffix. He raises a suffix whether the second child is going to get the Pishnayim. Where is it? Did they change the pages here? It should be the second parak in Yevamos. It used to be the second parak in Yevamos. I don't know. I think these are different pages. So that's a fantastic chiddush. It's usually assumed not like the Shilta Gibam. Usually assumed that even if the child is a mamzer, he's still going to get pishnai. What motivates him to say, he just assumes that what motivates him to say it is, the havamina would have been, wife is a snua b'nisuea, that's why the child is not entitled to Pishnayim. So the Torah tells us not to say like that, but the Torah is talking about a case of Kisiyen Aliyish, when Kiddush and Atofsin. So what if it's a case where the child is a Mamzer, Kiddush and Anatofsin? So he says, maybe you have no pasuk to say that in such a case he gets Pishnayim, so you remain with the Havamina, that he doesn't get Pishnayim. That's a big Chiddush. There's a famous comment that they attribute to the Vilna Goyen. After the Vilna Goyen passed away, so everybody was saying over things and printing things in the name of the Vilna Goyen. So one of the things that was printed was the following. A sharp comment. The Chumash says, a man is married to two wives. They gave birth to children. The Ahuva had a baby and the Snua had a baby. So the simple reading is the Ahuva had the baby first and the Snua had the baby second. And then the pasuk continues, how can it be? But the Snua gave birth after the Ahuva. So they attributed the comment to the Vilna Goyen, but the Bechor was born to the Snua because she became pregnant first. to determine who is the Bechor doesn't depend on which baby was born first. It depends on whose pregnancy preceded whose. So when somebody in Vilna printed this in the name of the Vilna Gaon, that's what motivated the Dayanim in Vilna to put up signs all over. No one should dare to say over anything in the name of the Vilna Gaon or print anything in the name of the Vilna Gaon without first checking it with the Bezdin, because it's not true. The halacha is that it doesn't depend on when the pregnancy began. It depends on when the baby was born. There's a very famous word that's attributed to the Gaon, and the Dayanim said that it's baloney, because the din in Shulchan Aruch is that it's not. All the Gemaras, it depends on later. It doesn't depend on the pregnancy. Then you have the next parsha in the Chumash, is the parsha of Ben Sora Mora. Ben Sora Mora, the Gemara says, is only the first 3 months after he's bar mitzvah. Even though the Ben Sora Mora is Nerag al Shem Sofo, the aver that he did now is really insufficient. He stole money from his parents and he ate with a group of gangsters. So the aver that he did now is really insufficient to warrant an oinish misa. But that's where the Mishnah says he's Nerag al Shem Sofo Yom Zaka by Yom Eschai. Let's kill him now before he does the most serious averes. If we wait till later, he's going to be doing terrible, terrible averes. So despite the fact that he's Nerag al Shem Sofo, one might have thought perhaps even a juvenile delinquent, a katan. Well, katan is a lot by Ronshin, but here you don't give him the misa as an onish, it's given as a deterrent. This is one of the four cases that it says, Hanisharim Yishmi V'Yiro V'lo Yisidnoi. You have the din of Hachrozim. So one might have thought that since this to serve the death penalty is to serve as a deterrent, so even a katan also. So Gemara says, no. A katan is not, he didn't do an avera, doesn't count, and he doesn't get the onish. Only bar mitzvah. So the Gemara says it's only the first 3 months after his bar mitzvah. So in the Tshuvas HaGoyim you find an interesting comment that just like by a girl we were discussing yesterday, there are three stages in the development of a girl. There's a katana until bas mitzvah, then you have a naira, the first 6 months after she becomes a gdola. Then you have a bogeris. So the pasuk says in Parshas Matos, in connection with the Nedarim, it says binureho beis aviyah. The girl is beis aviyah even when she's a naira. When she's a ktana, she's certainly beis aviyah. And even when she's a naira, she's also beis aviyah. Once she becomes a bogeris, and she's yotze mishus aviyah. The father's still supporting her. She's staying home, and he's going to marry her rough when she'll become 20 years old. But right now she's al pidin. She's not mishus aviyah. So the ketana is b'shus aviyah, the father can even sell her as an amo ivriya. Once she becomes a naira, the father can no longer sell her as an amo ivriya, but she's still partially b'shus aviyah, that he can be mekabel kiddushin for her, and maisi adeha, if she earns money, it goes to the father, and hafaras nedarim, she's still b'shus aviyah. The bogeris is not at all b'shus aviyah, not for kiddushin, not for maisi adeha, not for anything. So the Goinim write that you have the parallel three stages by a boy. The boy, you have a cotton, katnus, then you have nairus, then you have bagrus. So the nairus is the first 3 months after his bar mitzvah. Where do you ever find any halachas that the boy is b'shus his father? The father can't sell his son as an eved ivri. The father can't marry his son off. You have the sheet of the Rebar Barzilai that a father can marry off his son. That's based on Zachin Yad Mishlei Befano. That's not based on the fact. It's not the same as a father marrying off his daughter as Bita Nasat Elisha Azeh, that the father has a right to Torah's father. The Rebar Barzilai had a chiddush that the father knows what's best for his child, so he can say Zachin Yadim Shlei Befanav, he can be Mekadosh Anish on behalf of his son. But that's not the Torah's father, the Torah's a good friend. It's not a special din of father. Father can't be made for the Nidorim of the son. He's not entitled to Maisi Yodav. So where do you ever have a halacha that the son is B'shus Aviv? So there's one and only din that the son is B'shus Aviv with respect to Ben Sora Mara. That if he steals from the parents and he hangs out with gangsters, so there is an institution in Ben Sora Mara that he gets the death penalty. So that's up until the end of Nairus. Because money is a cotton, it's irrelevant that it's B'shus Aviv. A cotton is a lab baronshin, despite the fact that it's Al-Shem Sofo. You're not going to give him the death penalty. But this is the din. These 3 months are parallel to the 6 months by the girl, that the girl is a ktana, nair, and a bogeris. So the boy is also a katan and a nair and a bogeris. So during those 3 months of nairas, the boy is eligible to become a ben sora mora.
About nairas, what about mother nora ben azir? It's about a father whose mother...
Good. Okay. So that's not an example that the son is b'shus aviv. Okay, that's a good example. The Gemara has a machlokes. That's a Mishnah knows. The Gemara has machlokes. Rabbi Yechon Reish Lakish. What is it based on? So Reish Lakish says that it's based on the din of chinuch. So it's only made the rabbanon. The Gemara says it's only made the rabbanon. So the Gemara says it's only made the rabbanon. How can you bring karbanos at the end of the neder, at the end of the zman of the naziris? It's going to be chulam bazara. So the Gemara says Reish Lakish holds chulam bazara is only made the rabbanon. So hey mamar ve hey mamar. Since the whole prohibition of chulam bazara is only made the rabbanon, so they have a right to be matirit, but makam hav matiris v'rabbanazim. And Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree. Rabbi Yochanan holds that chulam bazara is an isa deraisa. So you can't say that hav matiris v'rabbanazim. The father can declare his son as an azir. It should simply be based on chinuch. It must be that it's halacha mashim isina. So that's what we assume. That the katan, that's only b'no katan. The father kid, the son is b'shus aviv. Only the father, not the mother. Only the son, not the daughter. The daughter is b'shus aviv for other halachas, but not for mother is bito b'nozir. Only hov mother is b'no b'nozir. Kach halacha mashim isina. Kach nemar halacha. That's right. That's a good example. So that's during katnos, and this is only during nairis. The shlosha chadoshim is during nairis when he's able to become a ben sar remor. We have it's very common that people make a tzavot. They leave a will, and they determine where they want the money to go after they die. If they don't determine, so the Chumash has dinim, or the whole parasha of Nachlis at the end of Chumash Bamidbar. And if the father, if the man determines while he's alive, so sometimes the tzavua has validity and sometimes not. So the Mishnah in Bava Basra quotes Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika establishes this chiddush that there is an institution of tzavua based on the lashon of the pasuk Kisiyena li shtei noshim. So it says V'hoi b'yom hanchilu as bonav. When it comes the day that the father is going to give over the Yerusha to his children. What do you mean the day that the father is going to give over? The Malach HaMavis takes his life, he kicks the bucket, and the Yerusha goes. He doesn't give over the Yerusha. So you see from the Chumash, B'yam Hanchila Azbanav, HaTorah Nasna Rishus Lav Lahancha L'chon Mishiyat. So the Torah gives the father the right to divide the Yerusha differently. He has the right to say, let's say he has two sons, and it should really be divided 50-50. Let's say neither is a b'chor for some reason or another, so it should be divided 50-50. But one of the children is extremely successful in business, and the other one just sits and learns. He doesn't make a living. So the father wants to give 75% to the son who needs it, and 25% to the son who's doing very well in business. So the Torah gives the father the right to alter the laws of Yerusha a little bit. That's based on this pasuk. That's how we pasuk like Rabbi Chaim Broika. HaTorah Nasna Rishus Lav Lahancha L'chol Mi Sheyirtze. And that's the meaning of the expression "b'yom hanchilu as bonav." The father has a right to be manchil. The Mishnah says it's only if these two children are in line to get some Yerusha. Let's say he has two sons and a daughter. The daughter was born first, so the daughter doesn't get any Yerusha at all. And neither son is going to be the pchor because the daughter is older than them. So each son should really get 50-50. The father says, "I want it should be 25-75." What if the father says, I want my son and my two sons and a daughter to divide one-third, one-third, one-third. So the daughter is not in line to get anything. So the Mishnah says that based on this pasuk, that wouldn't help. The father cannot make such a tzavah. The father can only make a tzavah bein ben abonim, or bas ben abonis, one who's in line to get some of the Yerusha, so he can give us a larger percentage or a smaller percentage. But if one is to the next door neighbor, or to a tzedakah, he wants to leave money to a charity, but that's not based on this pasuk. That's based on other dinim. You have other halachas that sometimes the father has a right to give Yerusha to other people. But the din deraisa based on this pasuk is only if he's giving to one who's in line to get something, bein ben abonim, or bas ben abonim, so then you can give him a larger percentage.
Is he allowed to change the halacha?
That pasuk says that not. Let's say the b'chor is the one who's doing very well in business, and the b'chor doesn't need the father's money. So he wants to give, let's say he has two sons, and one is a b'chor, one is a pashut. So the b'chor is entitled to pishnaim, a double portion. So you divide the Yerusha into three, and the b'chor gets two-thirds, and the pashut gets one-third. So the father says, the b'chor doesn't need so much money. He's a very wealthy boy. He's making out very well in business. He wants to give 90% to the poor slob, the yeshiva bacha, that son, and 10% to the b'chor. So the Mishnah says that doesn't work. He doesn't have the ability to do that. So there's a big machlokes that the Muki Yosef and the Rashash on that Mishnah, Baba Basa, Daf Kuf Lamed, that it says, Liuchal Avakas Benu Ha'uba, Penein Ben Asnoa, Kesabcho Ben Asnoa Yaakov, Losilo Pishnaim, what can you not alter? What can you not take away from the b'chor? Taka, the two-thirds, the chelek ha-pchor and the chelek ha-pshita, 66.6% he's entitled to. He gets all of it. Or do you say, no, the chelek ha-pshita that the b'chor gets is not different from the chelek ha-pshita that any other son gets. So that maybe you can alter with the tzavua. Only the chelek ha-pchor, the pishnaim shal ha-pchor. So that's a machlokes between the Rashash. It's unclear in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch doesn't say one way or the other. On the Mishnah, Baba Basa, that's a machlokes between the Muki Yosef and the Rashash, where you can take away the chelek ha-pshitas from the b'chor. How do you translate pishnaim? So the Mishnah says pishnaim means you treat the b'chor as if he were two sons. So if there are two sons, you act as if there are three, and the b'chor gets two-thirds. If there are five sons, so you make believe as if there are six sons, and the b'chor is two-sixths. Instead of getting one-fifth, he gets two-sixths. If there are 10 sons, so you make believe as if there are 11 sons, and the b'chor gets 2/11. That's what it means, pishnaim. Double portion. Pishnaim means double portion. You treat him as if he's two. That's because the Navi, Elisha, was present when Eliyahu Navi went up in a fiery chariot to heaven. And Eliyahu Navi was walking with Elisha, and they were talking. And then Eliyahu Navi said he's gonna depart now, he's going to leave this world. So Elisha requested of Eliyahu Navi, can he have pishnaim biruchacha? Can I possibly have a double share of koyach hanavua? You had so much koyach hanavua. Eliyahu Navi was a powerful Navi. Can I have pishnaim? Can I have a double portion? So Eliyahu Navi told him, it depends. If you will see that I'll go up in the fiery chariot, so then your wish will be granted. You stand the chance of being blessed with pishnaim, double portion. But if you won't see when I go up in the chariot, then you won't. What does it mean? So Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius explains what it means. The other Talmidim of Eliyahu HaNavi, their nevuah was through Eliyahu HaNavi, so they couldn't exceed his koyach hanevuah. And when Eliyahu HaNavi disappeared, he went up in the fiery chariot to heaven. So the other Talmidim who had only koyach hanevuah through Eliyahu HaNavi, they were lost. They didn't know what was going on. They were dumbfounded. They were looking for Eliyahu HaNavi all over. And Elisha told them that he's not here. He went up to heaven. They couldn't understand what's going on, because they lost their koyach hanevuah temporarily, because their koyach hanevuah only came through Eliyahu HaNavi. So that's what Eliyahu HaNavi tells Elisha. If you will be conscious, if you will see the way I go up in the fiery chariot to heaven, that's an indication that your nevuah is independent. You're not a Navi through me. Because all those who are Navim through my koyach hanevuah, they all fainted. All the B'nai HaNavim, they all fainted. So he says, if you will be conscious at the time that I'll go up and you see the whole vision, that's an indication that your nevuah is independent. So then it's possible for your wish to be granted. You may be twice as great as me. And then the Gemara says that his wish was granted, and he was twice as great as Eliyahu HaNavi. In what sense was he twice as great? So the Gemara says, Eliyahu HaNavi was only Mechaya one Mason. Elisha was Mechaya two Mason. This is how it says in the Gemara. There was a prominent conservative rabbi who was trying to prove that we have the right to change all the laws in the Torah. The rabbi, the Tanoim, changed all the laws, so we can also change the law. We follow in the footsteps of the rabbis, that they changed all the laws. Hillel made a prusbul. He changed the law. So the Gemara Taka works, a whole sugya. How does Hillel have the right to make a prusbul? The Gemara says, the Rabbana, this is the Rabbana, whatever. The Gemara has all, it's such a good kasha, the Gemara works on it. They're very hard to explain. How did Hillel have the right to make a prusbul? So this prominent conservative rabbi, he published a whole essay. Originally, the din used to be, he's reconstructing from thin air, originally the din obviously used to be that pishnaim means that the b'chor gets two-thirds. Even if there are 10 children, the b'chor gets two-thirds. And all the other 9 children only get one-third. And the rabbis decided that that's not fair. So they changed it, and they decided the b'chor only gets like two sons. How do you know that pishnaim means two-thirds? Maybe it means double portion, like it says in the Mishnah. No, because by Elisha HaNavi, he requested that he wanted pishnaim beruchach. Isn't that a chutzpah, a ghoul? He should tell Eliyahu HaNavi, I want to be twice as great as you. That's what the Gemara says. He wanted to be twice as great. The Gemara says his wish was granted. He was twice as great as Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu Navi was mechayev one mace, Elisha was mechayev two mace. So this conservative rabbi says, it can't be, that's what Elisha said. Elisha was requested, he should have two-thirds the koach hanevuah of Eliyahu Navi. The word pishnayim and tanach, right? You saw it. The word pishnayim and tanach all means two-thirds. And then the rabbis in later generation changed the law because they saw that it's not fair. If he has 10 children, the bechor is going to walk off with two-thirds of all of the estate. The other 9 children are just going to divide the one-third. That's not fair. So they changed it. So just like the rabbis changed it, so we can change all the laws also. Even if it were correct, the rabbis can change. Indeed, Imamunus is based on Hefker Bez Nehefker. How can you change it? In Issa the Hether, we can permit the Balabatim to drive to the synagogue on Sabbath, the same way as they can change Dini Imamunus. The Gemara says to change Dini Imamunus is easy. The mechanism is simple. You say Hefker Bez Nehefker, you change it. What are you going to be mafker on Shabbos? Mafker the whole religion. What are you going to be mafker on Shabbos? The whole thing a joke, but you should know that this is one of the sources that they like to quote. Hillel made the prusbel, so we have a right to change all the laws also. And the rabbis changed the din of Pishnai. It's all starting off on the assumption that it can't be that Elisha was requesting a double koach hanevuah. The rabbis in the Gemara say that's what Elisha requested. Double koach hanevuah, twice as great as Eliyahu HaNavi. Right after the three, Rashi in the beginning of the Sedra explains that Yifas Torah will lead to Achas Ahuva v'Achas Nua, and the Snua will lead to the Ben Sarah Mara. So don't start off on the left leg. Don't start off with the whole Yifas Torah. It's not recommended. That's how Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, from the Sifrei. The next parsha has the mitzvah of Kvura and Halona Sameis. Kovetik Berena Bayom Ahu, the Solon Devlos Al Ha'etz. There's an essay. The berik bayomahu means before the shkia, the day ends at shkia. Whenever someone dies, whenever it's possible, you bury the person before the shkia, unless it's helinei lechvodo. The Mishnah says, if you melein es hameis, you leave over the meis till the next day, until 2 days later, lechvodo, in order to have more people attend the funeral, then the Mishnah says that it's permissible. Achreinim es gekasha, that should only be if you hold like Reb Shimon, Darshin and Taima Dikro. We spoke the other day, there's a machlek Reb Shimon and a Chachamim. If you have a pasuk in the Chumash, and we figure out what the reason for the din is. That's also in today's Sedra, no? A Sachval Begin Almon is also today's Sedra. So there's a machlek Reb Shimon and a Chachamim. What about Almona Ashira? We know what the reason is, La Sachval Begin Almona, because they're going to have to come back every morning, every night, to give it back to pajamas, to give it back to dress, and so on. So what if the almana is an ashira? So the reason doesn't apply, so the din doesn't apply. So Reb Shimon bar Yochai, the Tana Reb Shimon is of the opinion that dashin and taima dekro, that whenever you can ascertain what the reason for the mitzvah is, and you have a situation where the tama mitzvah doesn't apply, so the whole mitzvah doesn't apply. And we don't accept his opinion. So achreinim ababed with the kasha, why does the Mishnah allow helineu lechvodo? If the male in is hameis, they leave the kvura till the next day or 2 days later, lechvodo shalmeis, why is it permissible? There should only be alibi the Reb Shimon, who holds dashin and time in the krop. But we don't accept that. We paskan loy dashin and time in the krop. So how come the Mishnah says that it's mutter? So the answer, here lecholadei is dashin, because it says, kovetik verenam bayamahu ki kilolos halakim taloi. It gives the reason in the Chumash. So there the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in the second parak in Sanhedrin, whenever the Chumash writes the din and the reason right next to the din. So the Chumash says what the reason is. So the Chumash means whenever the reason doesn't apply, so the din doesn't apply. Kikilas elokim tolamim, because man was created b'tzelem elokim b'nei yisrael abonim lamokim, and it's a violation of kavod abrius to leave the mace over till the next day. But if you're doing it lechvodo, then there's no prohibition.
Right.
See, according to Reb Shimon, you'll have a shaila. Maybe you're not allowed to do helinei lechvodo. According to Reb Shimon, but according to the halacha, we're okay. That's the second parak in Sanhedrin. That's the gemara that I'm referring to. Second parak in Sanhedrin has all the dinim of melech, and it has that discussion. How do you read that pasuk? Lo yarbe l'anoshim v'lo yosor es levavoy. V'lo yosor es levavoy is the reason for lo yarbe l'anoshim, or is it no? Lo yarbe l'anoshim semicolon. That's one din. Not allowed to marry too many wives. Then lo yosor es levavoy, he's not allowed to marry one wife if she's not from a girl. if she's not a tzaddikus. So if you say that the liyasos levav is the reason for the abel anoshim, then the Gemara discusses the issue of time of the krah, whether dashin time of the krah. So we assume that usually loy dashin time of the krah, unless the pasuk says mafurish the prohibition with the time of the krah, then we say dashin and time of the krah. The original pasuk of kvura kavatik berenu is bayamahu, before the shkia. What if one simply, the person died in the afternoon, and it's a winter day, and you can't bury him before the shkia? It's not enough, it's not b'chdei shi'asu. So then you should still try to bury him before alos ha'shachar, because that's called halone. It says, l'salin niblos al ha'eitz, halone is like v'lo yodan chelet chag yad boker, like lina, pasels by karbonet. Lina means with alos ha'shachar, so here also. L'chatchili should bury the mace on the same day, but yamahu, that's the essay. But you don't violate the law unless you leave over till the morning. If it's necessary to leave over till a day or two later, lechvodo, so you have no choice, then it's mutter. But if it's not necessary, so lechatchila should try to bury before the shkia. The second best is to bury balayla before alos hashachar. Now they don't let you bury at night, they have unions. The unions control the whole world. It's a different problem. Okay. The original pasuk of Kavur only says by haruge bezin. Kiya b'yish chek mishpat mavis v'humas. By haruge bezin, does the mitzvah of kvura apply by shar meisim? So the Mishnah says yes, but the Gemara seems to present the machlokes hatanoim. The Gemara darshins it from the word kavatik berenu. The Gemara quotes two brises in Sanhedrin and Mems, two brises one after the other. They both say the same drasha. Kavatik berenu is a kefal oshin, and we darshin kavatik berenu even if it's not harugi bezin. Even a normal person dies at home and dies in the hospital, also mitzvah kvura. So the two brises are one after the other, back to back, and they say verbatim the same thing. So the Lech Mishnah comments on the Rama, he doesn't understand why the Gemara quotes two brises that say exactly the same thing. So he says the only difference that he noticed between the two brises is the first one brises says remez l'kvura min ha-Torah. The other brises says minayin l'kvura min ha-Torah. So he says that seems to be the difference. Remez usually means that it's a din derabbanan most of the time. Remez usually means that it's a din derabbanan and it's only an asmachta remez. So the one brisa that says remez l'kvura min ha-Torah by shar meisim, that the word is repeated kavatik berenu, that tana is al opinion that kvura b'shar meisim is only derabbanan, and the Rambam has accepted the other brisa, the opinion of the other brisa, that we darshin min ha-Torah kavatik berenu goes on shar meisim, that it's not a remez minayin l'kvura min ha-Torah b'shar meisim, that it's a real din deraisa. The mitzvah of kvura only applies to Yisraelim. Kikilos elakim talui. What does it mean? Because man is created b'tzelem elakim, so that should apply to non-Jews as well. So we assume kikilos elakim talui means because man is b'tzelem elakim, because b'nei Yisrael abonim lamokim, not enough tzelem elakim. Because b'nei Yisrael abonim lamokim, so that's why we assume the mitzvah kvura only applies to Yisraelim, it doesn't apply to nochem. You're not mechuyev. But then the pasuk in Sefer Yoshua says, when they hung the lamed aleph malachim, they had to be mekayim the mitzvah hachrim tachrimim. So they hung the lamed aleph malachim, and it says that they took them down before shkias hachama to fulfill the mitzvah that says in Chumash and Teras Moshe. That's what it says in Sefer Yoshua, to observe the mitzvah that says in Teras Moshe that you should bury the same day. So the lamed aleph malachim are nochrim. So what do you mean to fulfill the mitzvah Chumash? There is no mitzvah kvura nesa yakum. So the Ramban writes on this pasuk a very fascinating comment, that the pasuk continues, "V'lo t'tamei esad moscha asher Hashem lokech nosen l'chon nachalo." You're not allowed to be mitamei Eretz Yisrael. So meisei akam arvosa mitamei. So he says, in chutzalo oretz, the mitzvah kvur only applies to Yisraelim, doesn't apply to meisei akam. But in Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to do halonas hameisa meisei akam because of the lav lo t'tamei esad moscha. You're not allowed to be a cause tuma in Eretz Yisrael. That's why there's a problem. Rabbi Chalap's father, Zechon Lebracha, was a big Talmid Chacham. Rabbi Chalap is also a Talmid Chacham, but his father was a very outstanding, prominent Talmid Chacham. Many Rabbonim in the New York area, when they had Shilas and Gitna, Chalitzis, and Halachas, they would call up Rabbi Chalap's father. He used to be a prominent rabbi in the Bronx. He had a big shul, very big shul. So he has in one of his svarim, he raises the question, how can you have a medical school in Eretz Yisrael? Because they have cadavers and they work on the dead bodies to learn. So they have Meisei Yakum. They have Meisei Yakum. But the Meisei Yakum is a violation of Lo Satamei Asad Moscha. So now in some of the schools in Eretz Yisrael, they're letting the students get away. Most of the students use cadavers. But they're allowing some of the students to get away with just studying virtual anatomy online. They're not going to go and know it as well as if they would really deal with the body proper. But this is an issue. The Ramban HaChumash says, you're not allowed to allow Meisei Yakum to be strewn around in Eretz Yisrael because of the special din. The Ramban reads the pasuk in Yeshua that it's a din deraisa, because it says that they took down the Lamed Aleph Malach and they hung them up to show all the nations that that we killed all the leaders. And then they took them down and buried them the same day to fulfill the pasuk that it says in Teres Moshe v'lo satam esad moscha. So the Ramban says, you see from the pasuk in Sefer Yeshua that that's a real din deraisa in Eretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to leave Meisei Yakum around. No, here it says in Navi we were fulfilling the pasuk in Chumash. It says Kakosav Taras Moshe. It says they were observing the din that says Chumash. No, when you have a din in the Bima Ksuvim, we usually assume the return of the Rikabola Loyafinim, that it's not going to be a din deraisa. The Gemara learns out the Kinyan Agav. If you mark the Metalpulim Agav Karka, the Gemara in Kiddushin learns it out from a pasuk in Divrei Yomim. And Taisa writes in Bava Kama that Agav is only midirabbanon, because it never appears in Chumash. It's only in Nevi'im or Ksuvim. Whatever is Nevi'im or Ksuvim is Dibre Kabbalah. Dibre term Dibre Kabbalah lo yafinim. Unless it says in the Navi that we're fulfilling a din that says in the Chumash. Here it says in the Navi they took down the Lamed Aleph Malachim from the hang, from the place where they were hanging, to fulfill a pasuk that says in Taras Moshe. So the Navi says that it's a din deraisa. By the Harugei Bezdin, the Rambam paskens that Kvura Bashar Mesim is also deraisa because of the Kovetik Brenna, the Kefa Loshen. Gemara has a machloikis in different places in Shas, where the Yudarshan Loshen is Kfulim. It says, Hanik Taning, Dasan Titein, Pasayach Tiftach. So the Gemara has a machloikis Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel has Dibba Torah Kedoshayim Ben Yodam. The Torah will repeat a word because that's the way people talk and it's no room to darshan. You shouldn't darshan anything. And we haven't accepted Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. We assume lo di b'terek l'shem ben yodam. When you have the shonas kfulim, we assume that it's written, a kefal loshen is written to teach us something special. So we darshan adin deraisa kavetik b'rena l'rabbi shar meisim, not only harugi bezdin. But still the harugi bezdin, it's a special din of kvura. It's a special din of kvura, because the Mishnah says that there were two cemeteries, there were two bate kvaris for the harugi bezdin, one for the niskolim and israfim, and one for the Neharogim and Achnokim. And you're not allowed to mix them up. So the Gemara says, why weren't there four cemeteries? Because the din is you're not allowed to bury Tzaddik next to a Rosha. You're not allowed to bury a Rosha Choma next to a Rosha Kal. So Skilus, Reif, Herik, Chenek, Afur, Madregis of Averis, each one is more Choma than the other. Machloikis Hatanayim, where the Skilus is more Choma than Sreifa, Sreifa is more Choma than Skil, and Herik and Chenek. There's also a machloikis hatanayim. How come there was a machloikis? Because they always knew traditionally there were two batik forests, one for niskolim and nisrafim, and one for neharogim and achnokim. So they knew that these two mises are mochomer than those two mises, but they didn't remember which one of these two mises is the mochomer. So the Gemara asked the kash, but there should have been four cemeteries. If you're not allowed to bury Rosh Hachomer next to Rosh Hakal, so there should have been a separate cemetery for the niskolim and a separate cemetery for the nisrafim. And so on. So the Gemara says, Hilchus HaGemiri Lo. That's Halacha Moshe Messina. So you see, it's a special din, the Kvura by the Harugei Bezdin. It's not just Kavetik Buran is Marbed, it's the same din of Kvura for everybody. It's not the same din Kvura for everybody. It's a special din, separate din Kvura for the Harugei Bezdin, and separate din Kvura for the Shar Meisim. The Gemara also learns that from the Pasuk that if a person was put to death by Sayif, so you have to bury the sayif together with the mace, within the alarams of the mace, in Tfusa Sakever. Tfusa Sakever means within the alarams of the mace. And if a person was put to death with chenek, you have to bury the sudur shenechnakbo, the scarf that we use to choke him to death, you have to bury that toch the alarams of the mace. It's clearly a separate, a special din. Kfuras harugei bezin. Kfuras harugei bezin. No, that's in Chumash. Kavtik Beren Bayom Ahu. Bayom means before the Shkia. The Rashash points that out on the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. L'chatchili before Shkia, that's the essay. And if it's not possible, then l'chatchili before Lois HaShachar, Lois Solim. That's a Rashash on the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Then the Torah has the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. If you should give it back if you know who the owner of the Aveda is. What if you don't know who it is? You don't know who it is. So you should hold it. You should hold the Aveda. Adrosh Achicha Oso. You should hold it until he will request of you that you should give it back. Adrosh Achicha Oso. So the Gemara says, obviously Adrosh Achicha Oso. How are you going to have the, if you don't know who it belongs to? So how are you going to have the Racha Kodesh to know? So what does the pasuk have to say? Adrosh achicha also. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. The pshuta shel mikra means you should hold on to the aveda until the one who lost it will come and ask you. You hang up the sign all over and it says whoever lost a dog that's polka dots, whatever, funny colors, should come to me. Whoever lost a dog that has a fur coat on it with a leather, whatever. So the guy's going to come and he'll give the simanim on the dog. Okay, fine. So the Pashab Shad Rosh Achicha also, till the owner of the Aveda will come and ask you that you should give it back. And the Torah Shabbat Peh has an additional level of interpretation, means the reverse. Until you interrogate the one who comes, Darshev Shaloi Hei Ramai, you should interrogate him to make sure that he's not a faker, that he's not trying to pick up someone else's Aveda. Darshev Shaloi Hei Ramai, what does that mean? So the Gemara says what it means is, if he's a tsurva midirabbanon, the law mishane bidibure. Tsurva midirabbanon means a young tamachach before the age of 40. Over the age of 40, you're over the hill already. Tsurva midirabbanon means young before 40. So if he's a tsurva midirabbanon, in the days of the Gemara, they had this wild notion that real talmid chachamim never tell a lie. Okay? There were holy people, never told a lie. Only the three things that you can tell a lie: bepuria, beyoshpiza, what's the other one? Bemesichta. The Gemara says there are only three things that mishum tznias, mishum anivas. Sometimes you're allowed to tell a lie. Otherwise, a real tzurim rabbana never tells a lie. So if he never tells a lie, then he comes and he says he lost the polka dot dog with the fur coat, whatever. So you can show him the dog and ask him, is this the one you lost? And he says, yeah. That looks like mine. You can give it back the tviya sign, because that's Dosheir Shaloi Hei Ramai. I know he's a tzur merabban. He never tells a lie. Only mishum tznius, mishum anivus. So then you can give him back the aveda b'tviya sign. If he's not such a tzur merabban, d'olam mishani b'dibure. Once in a while he will tell a lie, as a joke or whatever. So then you're not allowed to give him back the aveda based on tviya sign, unless he gives simonim. Has to give simonim. So the whole institution of simonim is based on this pasuk. Hadrosh achicha also. The Gemara says, "V'chein tasa l'simlosoi, ma simla miyacheres yesh l'simonim v'yesh l'tovim." They didn't have, like today, you go to Gimbel's and Macy's. Are they still open? I don't even know. Whatever. Sims. So they have 1,000 dresses in a row. They're exactly the same print, manufactured on the same machine. Everything exactly the same. Exactly the same. So the simla is not miyacheres yesh l'simonim. It has no simonim. Has the same price tag on all the 1,000 dresses in Iran. The days of the Talmud, the days of the Tanakh, they didn't have machinery where they manufactured 1,000 dresses exactly with the same print, exactly the same color. They had to have a tailor make the dress. No two dresses were the same. Every dress was unique. Because it has simonim, so the owner is not misyayish from it. If it's a dove shame bo simon, then it's going to be Messiah. So the source of the din of Yiyush is learned out, Tyson said, the din of Yiyush is learned out in this pasuk. Chen tasa de simlosa, ma simla chen sheyesh le simonim. Every simla is different. No two smallest are the same. So therefore, yesh le tovim, the owner will not be Messiah. This is the source of the institution of Yiyush. Tyson writes in Merubin, Rabbi Kam Perek Merubin, where is the source of the institution of Hefker? That says Hefker and Yiyush are different. Where does it say in Chumash that there's such a thing as Hefker? When the Baruch Shalom created the world, everything was Hefker. That was the original pristine state of the world. Everything was Hefker. But then we ruined it, and we were kind of things. And now, how do you know that after you Zeichem in a Hefker, how do you know you can be Mafker it back to restore it back to the original pristine state of being ownerless? Where does it say? Maybe once you own it, the only way to get rid of it is to give it to someone else. Give the hot potato to someone else. How do you know it can be mafgrit, that it can return back to its original state? So the Gemara, Tosis and Bava Kama quotes the Yerushalmi in Shviyas, that's based on the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim regarding Shemitah. It says, V'hashviyas, the peres that grow during Shnas HaShemitah, Tishmetena unetashto, V'ochla avyoni amecha, V'yisron techo chayas asode. So what does it mean, Tishmetena? You should be mafka the peres that grow during Shnas HaShemitah. And what does it say, unetashto? So if you hold like Rabbi Shmuel Dibra Terek L'Shem Yodim, doesn't mean anything. L'shonis Kfulam don't mean anything. Tishmetena unetashto, you should be mafka the peres. We follow Rabbi Akiva, that we always darshan the Shonis Kfulim. If it says Kavatik Brena Hanik Tanik Dasan Titan Pesach Tiftach, it always means something. So what does it mean Tishmentenu and Atashto? So the Yerushalmi says in Masech HaShviz, Yesh Lach Netisha Acheres Shehi Kazu. There's another case where you have Hefka. When is that? If you mafka something. Peres Shviz is a mitzvah. All the farmers in Eretz Yisrael have an obligation to be mafka the peres that grow during Shnas HaShemitah. That's Tishmentenu the first time. And the second time it says Unetashto, that means that there's an institution of Hefker, even not in connection with the Perishvis. So you have two different psukim teaching you two different dinim. Hefker is based on Tishmenteno and Etashto. That's why the Mishnah has there in Machlekes Beishama Bisilo. So Bisilo say, you can't be mafka only for the, let's say, I have 1,000 single dollar bills. And I know there are a lot of poor boys in the yeshiva. There are a lot of wealthy boys from wealthy families in the yeshiva. So I put all the money on the table and I say, I mafka this for only for the poor boys. Whoever's from a wealthy family has no right to take it. So there's a machlekes hatanoim where the hefker lanim v'lo lashim is a valid hefker. So we pass him like a besilul. Hefker lanim v'lo lashim is not a valid hefker. It doesn't get off the ground. At sheyafkeren lanim v'lashirim kishmita. Because the whole mocker of the institution of Hefker is based on the Pasuk Tishmentenu and Etashto. And the Perishviz are Hefker Lakol. You have to be Mafkir for everybody. Not just Mafkir for the poor people. Perishviz, you have to be Mafkir for everybody. So even the other din of Hefker, that you can be Mafkir whatever you want, even if it's not Perishviz, is only Ach Hefker and Elanim Lashirim Kishviz, like Shemitah. So that's what Tosfos says in Merubin, the beginning of Perik Merubin, Bava Kama. The institution of Hefker is based on the Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, Vashvi'is Tishmentenu and Atashto from the Kefa Loshim. And the institution of Yiyush is by Aveda. Yiyush is by Aveda. It's based on Chen Tasa the Simlosa. Ma'asimla mi'echere she'esh l'slimonim v'yesh l'tovim. Because it has simonim, that's why the owner is not misyayish from it. If it wouldn't have simonim, it's probably going to be misyayish. And if it's misyayish, then you can keep it. So Yiyush is based on this Pasuk. Hefker is based on that pasuk. They're not the same thing. The Gemara says there in Baba Kama and Daf Ayin Tes, in order to be mafkir, you have to be a full bailam. It has to be shaloya b'shusay, because hefker is an act of haknoah. Just like if I give a matonah to someone else or I sell something, so I transfer ownership. That's a haknoah, and you need shaloya b'shusay. So to hefker ain't on a mafkir dovish ain't a b'shusay. It has to be shaloya b'shusay. Masheni ken yiush, yiush is dafka dovisha ena b'shusay. Let's say I have a pen in my pocket. I have a pen in my pocket, and I forgot where the pen is. The guy, the absent minded professor, he has his glasses on top. He's looking all over the house. He can't find his glasses. Looking, going crazy. He's misyayish. He gives off hope without finding glasses. Then someone walks over. They walk off with the glasses. You were just misyayish. Hey, misyayish, so I have a right to take it. So the Ramban has a famous comment. The Ramban says, Yush doesn't work on a Dovishu B'shusa. If the pen is in my pocket, if the glasses are on my head, it's not lost. Yush only helps if the thing is an Aveda, it's Avudim, Imenu, Mitzuye, it's a Kol Adam. So then if you're Misyayish from it, then you're Mashlem, Nishem, Avud, and then it becomes ownerless. But you can't be Misyayish from a Dovishu B'shusa. You don't know where it is, but that's not called an Aveda. Yush only helps to be Mashlem, Nishem, Avud, Masheni, Ken, Hefker. Hefka has to be dafke shaloyu b'shusay. Saying the b'shusay, you don't have the ability to be mafke.
If a person finds an avida which does not have simanim, but they know that the person wasn't Yiddish. The person dropped the dollars, is going into a bus, saw that he was Jewish, but he didn't see, he has absolutely no idea who the guy is, and no simanim on a dollar bill. So then what are you supposed to do with
You're not allowed to take it and keep it for yourself, but you want to know who to give it back to. So don't take it.
You picked it up, then you're stuck.
You have to hold on. If you pick up an Aveda, shame. Best is if you see an Aveda, shame is him. So don't get involved. Don't take it. Because you want to know how to give it back. And once you took it, so you have to hold on to it. I don't think you have to hold on to that dollar bill. You write down on a piece of paper that you owe someone a dollar bill. And if you lost a Rembrandt and you don't know who it is, you have to hold on. Nobody will come and tell us who's the owner of the Rembrandt. But on the dollar bill, tell me to whom I should give a dollar later on. So the guy doesn't care if I'm going to spend this dollar. The simple pshat in the pasuk reads, "L'siris chamor achicha ser nidochim v'yisalamte mehem, hoshav tishivim li'achicha." There's a mitzvah of hashavas aveda. So it says, you should not be misaleim. L'siris v'yisalamte. You should not be mitaleim. You should not ignore the fact that he lost the aveda. No, you should pick it up and you should give it back. So the Gemara has in it, that's the pshuto shel mikra. The lo goes on v'yisalamte. Lo tisaleim. Then the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. The Torah Shebaal Peh has an additional level of interpretation. And the positive, yes, sometimes you do have a right to be misalei. When is that? If it's a zokem bein alefi chvoidoi, the kovar abrius is doicha the mitzvah of hashavas aveda. If it's a zokem bein alefi chvoidoi, then the mitzvah of hashavas aveda doesn't apply. What do you mean zokem bein alefi chvoidoi? So the Gemara explains, if it would have been his own aveda, he wouldn't pick it up. Kol shebishalo eino matzel. So I'm supposed to take care of the other people's needs as if they were my needs. I have to be meshav aveda for you. I have to treat your aveda as if it were my own aveda. But if it would have been my aveda, my wife lost a piece of women's underwear or something. So I'm not going to have no bag, I have no pocket to put on. What, I'm going to walk in the street with the piece of underwear? I'm embarrassed to walk like that. So if it belonged to my wife, I wouldn't pick it up. So it belongs to someone else's wife, I'm also not mechuyev to pick it up. But if it's something that I wouldn't be embarrassed to pick it up if it belongs to me, then it's not called zokin beinu lefi chloida.
We have a din of estilis and batadachis of kolodom in this case, meaning if he is an estilis or he has a situation where he cannot, in the most public, would be able to pick it up.
There is a, I don't know, it's an interesting question. There is a machlokes and Rishonim, the Rosh and the Rambam. What does it mean, zokin beinu lefi chvoido? Zokin means an old man, an elderly gentleman, that he's embarrassed, he wouldn't pick it up if it would have been his own aveda. Or zokin means a tamachochem. So some Rishonim seem to hold there's only zokin a tamachochem who's not allowed to be mevaza kovet ator. And others say no, even if he's not a tamachochem, not an issa, just people his age wouldn't want to do it. It could be, it would depend on that question in the Rishon, but whether it's judged subjectively, each person has to determine whether he would give back, whether he would pick it up if it would have been his own aveda. Then you have the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKan. Mitzvah Shiloh HaKan says, only if the mother bird is sitting on the chicks or the eggs. Half the time the father sits on the eggs. So you have to, I think the daytime, the father sits and the nighttime the mother sits, if I'm not mistaken. So you got to make sure that there's a machlokes, but they say a bracha on Shiloh HaKan. So the practice is you don't say a bracha. But even if you're not saying a bracha, a lot of people wanted to fulfill the mitzvah Shiloh HaKan to be blessed in Manita Vlach Varachta Yomim. So that's only if you did the mitzvah properly, the aim. If you do when the father is on the nest, so you're not becoming the mitzvah. What kind of a strange mitzvah Shiloh HaKan? So the Zohar has a very fascinating comment. The Zohar says that we have to demonstrate Achzorius on the bird. It's a mitzvah to demonstrate Achzorius. By our demonstrating Achzorius, the Shari Rachmim from heaven will be opened up on with respect to the poor bird. And once the gates of mercy are opened up, so it's good for everybody. So the Shari Rachmim is going to be open for everybody. It's a fascinating interpretation. The Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim says the reverse. The Rambam says that the whole mitzvah Shloch HaKan is to have Rachmanis on the mother. You shouldn't take the mother together with the birds, because the mother is going to be upset. that she sees that you're taking her chicks and she understands you're going to kill them. You're going to eat the eggs. You're not going to let them develop into chicks. So the Rambam interprets the whole reason for the mitzvah punk faker. The Mishnah sounds like it doesn't say like the Rambam. The Mishnah says, Harma katsi bigarach mecha mishaskin also. So how did the Rambam write that the mitzvah is in order to have rachmanah? So the Rambam says, that Mishnah only means you're not allowed to incorporate such a text in the davening. But between me and you, that's the reason for the mitzvah. And you're allowed to say it. You're allowed to write it in a sefer. But you shouldn't say it belusach sel tefila. Why not? It's a problematic Rambam. Why not? A strange din. Then you have the mitzvah of makeh. V'asisa makeh li gagecho. So by mezuzah, it says, chsavta manzuzah beisecho uvishorecho. So Tosis' opinion is accepted. Tosis has two opinions. So the more popular view in Tosis is that mezuzah is only minat Torah if you own the house. On a rented house, Tosis says on a bayis ha-socher, the chiv mezuzah is only midirabonim. Yeah. So that's the Pizchei Tshuva, the last page in Chosh Mishpat, the very last page talks about the mitzvah of Makeh. So the Pizchei Tshuva quotes Achrayim who say that the mitzvah of Makeh on a rented house is only mid the Rabbanim. It's a little strange, but he's going to fall off and get killed, he'll only be dead mid the Rabbanim. he's going to get killed, he's going to be dead men HaTorah. So why should the Chiyav Makeh? I don't understand it. Why? That's what he's been dying. It's only shalcho. It's rented, it's only midi rabban. How high does the makkah, but you still you have to put a makkah, either min atar midi rabban. How high does the makkah have to be? So the Ravid says on the Rambam has a different opinion, but the Ravid says it should be 10 tefachim tall, and has to be sturdy. It has to be sturdy, that if you lean on it, it's not going to fall off. A lot of times people have a staircase, and then upstairs, on the second floor in their home, you have to have a makkah that you shouldn't fall down. So a lot of times people don't have 10 tefachim tall upstairs. So they're in violation of the mitzvah of makkah. They're in violation. It has to be. A lot of people have a window that opens up, and this window doesn't open, so you don't need any makkah. But if this window would open, the wall going up to the window is less than 10 tefachim tall. So you're not allowed to have such. A lot of people have windows that open, and the window is less than 10 tefachim from the floor. And then you can fall down and get killed. You have to make sure that on top of the staircase upstairs, you have a makkah of 10 tefachim tall. You have to make sure by the window that the wall should be at least 10 tefachim tall. You have to close the window. It's a din of makkah. The Gemara says that there's no obligation to put a makkah on top of a Beis HaKnesses, only if there's a Beis Dira downstairs. Beis HaKnesses not. But the people may get killed also. So how you talking? What kind of business is that? So the Velt says, some Achrayim say like this, that there's an essay and a lois essay. The lois essay, losas medamim beveisecho. So if you have a roof on top of a shul, and the kids are going to be playing on top of the roof during Kriyas HaTorah, or whatever, people are going to be fooling around top of the roof. Of course, he didn't mark it, but the mitzvah says it. Kisivna bais chodesh, he sees a mark alakagecha. That's only if it's a beis dira. If people live downstairs. It's not a beis dira. Then you have the lois esse, but you don't have the esse. What do you gain by saying you don't have? What did you gain by chiseling off that you don't have the mitzvah esse? So if you say there's a machlekes, but you say a bracha on a market. There's one we say a bracha when he puts up a market. So I think it's usually some you don't say a bracha. You only say a bracha shekadoshana b'mitzvah yisar b'tzivanu on something that indicates a difference between Klal Yisrael and the Umas Ha'olam. The Umas Ha'olam also don't want to get killed. They're also going to put a mark on the roof. They don't have a chiv to, but that's a normal linyan. When you put on tefillin, the nochem are not putting on tefillin. They're not putting on tzitzis. They're not benching licht on Erev Shabbos. They can turn on lights on their Sabbath. They don't have any problem to bench licht. They don't sit in sukkah, they don't shake a lulav. So we say a bracha, the Rambam says, he says, a bracha on a mitzvah bin adam lamokim, because that's kiddushana bin mitzvah yisav, it's ivanu, it's noticeable, it's conspicuous that there's a bechiras Yisrael. I'm putting a makkah. I saw my Arab neighbors in the summertime in Tannersville, they're more makbid on makkah than the Jewish neighbors are. They really have real strong makkah. So when a Jew puts up a makkah, The Pashta says there, quote the Machlok is there, the last page in Chosh Mish, but Pashta says you don't say a bracha, because it doesn't indicate the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. So some say that you do say a bracha, and they say if it's a makah on top of a shul, then you only have the lois essay, you don't have the essay. If you say you don't say a bracha anyway, so what's the difference? That's problematic. That's a big discussion. That's a discussion in the latest forum have a discussion about that. Machne Ephraim has about that. We're learning Yevamos this year, so we spent an awful lot of time on Asul B'Shatnez Gidilim Tasavacho, the Smichas Apsukim. That one pasuk is next to the other, and this is how we learn out the din of Esed Echaloises. The Rabbi Natan claims that the climate sits is Hutra, so sometimes Hutra, sometimes Kliya. Everything is based on the Smichas Apsukim. When it comes to Shatnez, the Gemara is going to point out the very, very next daf that there are two psukim. The pasuk here says Lasil B'Shatnez. Pasuk in Chumash Vayikra says a beggar climbs Shatnez Lo Yale Olecha. Ha'aloh is also. So ha'aloh means even a blanket, let's say. A person is going to wear a blanket that's made from shatnez. So ha'aloh is awesome in atar. And la silba shatnez means if you do levisha. Why do you need two different psukim? So the Gemara says, if you only have la silbash, you would have thought that the blanket of shatnez is mutam. So let it just say, beggar climb shatnez lo yala alecha. So that includes everything. Gemara says, no. If you would only have the pasuk lo yala alecha, you would have thought that even Mocher Kisus, the Gemara has a famous price, Mocher Kisus, Mocher Kedarka, when you walk in Manhattan sometimes, you see people walking in the street schlepping 20 dresses on their shoulders from one store to the other, from one branch of the store to the other, because they ran out of dresses over there, so they're carrying it. So the Gemara has a shaila, what if the dresses are shatnez? We're selling it to non-Jews. Shatnez is mutabah, no, you're allowed to make money by selling shatnez, you're not allowed to wear it. It's also belavisha, but it's mutah to make money on it. Not allowed to sell it to a Jew, so Shalaf and Lifnei with a Siti Mikshal. Okay. He's selling in a non-Jewish neighborhood. There are no Jewish people going to buy. So it's, Gemara says, is he permitted to carry the Shatnez dresses on his shoulder from one place to the other? Is that a violation of Ha'aloh? So the Gemara says that Ha'aloh is only us if it's similar to La Silbash, if it's similar to Levisha. Ma Levisha Shiesh Bahano. A person wears clothing, so he's dressed. Afhalo is only Shiesh Bahanoa, but if he's going to just transport the dresses of Shatnez from one location to the other, Mechir Ksus, Mechim Kedarkon, Vachlo Yiskavin Mechamim Pnei Hachamim B'Kshamim Pnei Hashamim. If it's a very cold day outside, and the fellow who's schlepping the dresses from one store to the other is not wearing a coat, and he's happy the fact he's holding the dresses on his back to keep himself warm, then that's Ha'aloh Shiesh Bahanoa, then he's not allowed to. Or if it's very hot outside and he wants to carry the dresses to protect himself from the sun beating down, from the heat beating down on him, so if he's miskavi lohanes b'chamim pnei achamim, shamim pnei achamim, so then it's ha'aloh sheyesh b'hanam. So the Gemara says you need the two psukim. If you would only have lasilbash, you would have thought that blanket shol shatnez amut. If you'd only have layala alecha, you would have thought ha'aloh, even ein bo hanor, is also awesome. So how do you know halah is only asr if yesh b'hanoah? Because halah is only asr if it's dumi de levisha. Ma levisha sheyesh b'hanoah, af halah sheyesh b'hanoah. So here there's a machlokes, the Rambam and the other Rishonim, the Mechaber quotes two opinions in Hilchos Shatnez. What's the din by levisha she'ein b'hanoah? Let's say a guy's going through, in the days of the Gemara, he's going through he's traveling on the road, and they're going to charge him tax for all of the property that he has. So he has 10 avodim. He says, they're all my children. He doesn't want to pay tax. If they're avodim, so you got to pay tax. If they're your children, so he says a lie, they're all my children. Then after they go through the checkpoint, he says, they're not my children, because if he dies, they're all going to get Yerusha. He says, they're not my children, I just told a lie, I didn't want to pay tax. The Gemara says, you're not allowed, if it's a legitimate tax collector, you're not allowed to cheat on taxes. Mar says, we're talking about a pirate. The guy's a pirate and he's not entitled to collect taxes. So then you're allowed to tell him a lie and say that these are my children, they're not my avodim. But if he's authorized by the government to collect taxes, then you're not allowed to cheat. A lot of people forgot that Gemara. They think there's always mutah mitzvah to be mavriach menamech. always it's Gemara says it's you're allowed to be maviach min ha-meches if it's a mochas ha-imid me'elav, if he has no right, if he's a pirate, he has no right to collect the taxes. So let's say whatever clothing he wears, let's say you go on the airplane. So whatever you hold in there in your luggage, they're going to weigh in and they're going to charge you for luggage. Whatever you're wearing, you can wear as much as you want. So I want to transport a lot of clothing that's shatnez. I put on another jacket and another sweater. I'm ready to die. There's so many sweaters I don't want to pay tax. They don't charge you tax on what you're wearing, and they don't charge you if you wear as much as you want. They don't charge you for transportation on the airplane. So what if you're wearing clothing but it's levisha shem b'hano? This is not normal. I'm just doing it l'avriach hasameches. So is that osur or not? So the Rambam holds that it's osur. The Rambam holds that two different isurim. Ha'aloh is only osur if it's dumi de levisha. Ha'aloh has to be yesh b'hano. But levisha is osur even if it's ain b'hano. Most of the Rishonim disagree. What are you talking about? The Gemara says ha'aloh is only osur dumi de levisha. Ma levisha sheyesh b'hano, that's given. Levisha sheyesh b'hano. Af ha'aloh is only osur yesh b'hano. So it's self-understood that Pashtus from the Gemara that Levisha is only us if it's Yesh Bahano. So that's the Machlokes, the Rambam and the other Rishonim. Rabbi Gifter used to tell us there was a Bacher who learned in Telzi Yeshiva when he was there, a Motl Pogromansky. I think he survived the war and then he died in Paris after the war. So he was a genius in learning. He was outstanding Talmud Chacham. So he says you would be able to identify him because whenever he wore a hat, the hat was hanging over his ears. Why? Because he was choshesh that the hats that they sold with the tag on the hat constituted shatnas. So he wouldn't try on the hat. He was machma for the Rambam. He was machma. The Rambam holds that levishon shatnas is also even ein bohanor. We usually assume, well, most of the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. They hold that levishon shein bohanor is not a violation of shatnas. So you try on a suit, even if you know that it has shatnas in it. You're trying it on, you're not wearing it now. So that's called levisha she'en bohano. Levisha she'esh bohano means I'm wearing the suit, period, I'm wearing a suit. I try it on for size, that's called, just like lavriches ameches, so that's called levisha she'en bohano. So the oilam is knowing everybody would put on the hat, try on the hat to see if it fits. And then if they would buy the hat, then they would rip off the tag. They have a right to rip off the tag, so to make it oy shatnas. And he was machma like the Rambam. He wouldn't try on the hat. So he would pick up the hat. You're allowed to hold shatnas in your hand. Pick up the hat and guess to hold it. He always had to guess how it's going to fit. And he always guessed wrong. So his hats were always too big hanging over his ears. Chacham Avadya has a tshuva on everything. Chacham Avadya has a tshuva on this. He says, if the garment vaday has shatnas, then he says you have to be machmir for the Rambam, not to try it on, even though it's a levisha shem anor, it should be choshish for the Rambam, because the Rambam was a Sfardi. So you got to be choshish for the Rambam. But if it's a Sufik of Hashatnas, then you can be mekel because of Sfek Sfek. Maybe it doesn't have Shatnas, maybe even if it has Shatnas, maybe the din is against the Rambam, that levisha shem anor is mutter.
Since most clothes don't have
Shatnas,
is there a chiyuv to actually look for Shatnas?
Strictly speaking, whenever you have a roiv, you're not mechuyev to be boidik unless it's a miyotamotzui. That's what the Ramban has. The famous Ramban, the beginning of Chulin, says, how come when we shech the behema, the midrashim say you only boidik the reya, you only check the lung to see if there are sirchas. Why don't you check there are shivim trefas? There's 70 different trefas. How come we don't check? So some of the trefas are obvious. You look on the outside before you shech it, see he doesn't have a broken leg. But there are many other trefas inside. We don't bother to check for everything else. So the Ramban says, because the trefas on the reya, sich on the reya is a miyotamotze. So whenever you have a miyotamotze, then there's a chavis bedika midirabonim. So the same by bugs and vegetables. If it's a miyotamotze, if it's a significant percentage, a likelihood that you'll be eating a bug, then there's a chiv midirabonim to check for bugs. And for shatans also, if it's a miyotamotze, then you have to check. So that's the question, what's the definition of a miyotamotze? So the Darki Tshuva from the Munkacher quotes on Yerodei from the Mishkanes Yankiv. Mishkanes Yankiv was a Talmud of Rab Chaim Volozhin. He was Rab Yankele Karlina. He was a Rabban Karlina. He's always fighting with the Hasidim, Karlina Hasidim. So he has in his Tshuva, he thinks 10%. He says, based on the Gemara and Baba Basa, 10% or above is called miyotamotze. And Rabbi Yashiv came up with a Chumra, 7%. Why 7%? Because the Ramban says that the Sirchas Andereya is a miyotamotze, and that's why you're mechuyev to be boidik. So in America, Sirchas Andereya are well over 10%. So 10% and above is Mir Tamotin. In Eretz Yisrael, the Sirchas and the Re'ah are only 7%. So Rabbi Yashiv thought, the Ramban says that Sirchas and the Re'ah is Mir Tamotin. Then Eretz Yisrael 7%. So you see that 7% is called Mir Tamotin. Rabbi, who wrote the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa? Rabbi Neuwirth told us that when he was younger, now he's one of the Ziknei Harbanim, but he was younger, he used to travel to Argentina to supervise the Shechita, the fleet that was imported to Eretz Yisrael. They said in Argentina it was only 5% of the behemoths had sirchas. All the slaughterhouses keep track of what percentage of the behemoths did the shochtim make nevela. If they make too many nevelas, then they fire them. They don't want a sheikh who's going to make every other behemoth is going to be nevela. They'll fire him and get a better sheikh. And then they also keep track of what percentage of the animals are going to turn out to be treifas. So they'll know birds and animals. So they'll know don't buy birds from this farm because it's going to have too many treifas. Don't buy behemoths from that farm because you're going to have too many treifas. Must be something wrong over there. So he said when he was in Argentina supervising the shechita there where the meat was going to be brought to Eretz Yisrael, he said the sirchas on the behemoths there were only 5%. So he doesn't think we have to be machmer more than Rav Al-Yashir. Rav Al-Yashir said you have to be machmer for 7% because in Eretz Yisrael the sirchas on the lungs are 7% of the behemoths. But it's usually assumed that it's 10%. 10% is mir tamon. Yeah, so Rav HaTolli v'Maisa B'nei Adam, yeah. Sometimes you have a chumra midirabbana not to rely on a Rav HaTolli v'Das B'nei Adam. But in a Torah, it's good. Gemara has sometimes by whether Chashina l'siv loynes, sometimes you'll have a chumra midirabbana. Here you don't have any chumras midirabbana. You go by Sir, right?
Would be 10% of clothing or 10% of that specific line?
That line. If you know what the percent, if you know what the percentage is for that company, the shatnas test is continued to tell you which companies are likely to have how much percentage of shatnas. Then the Chumash talks about problems with marriage. Eishusisha zinso, nara morosa shezinso, moitzi shemra, inesa mafata, different dinim over here. And the Chumash speaks about the difference between erisin and nisuin. We spoke a little bit yesterday about the difference between erisin and nisuin. That nisuin is moitzi meshus ha'av. Erisin is partially moitzi meshus ha'av, and nisuin is fully moitzi meshus ha'av. Torah has a din here, and today said you are Patsua Daka. Lo Yavu Patsua Daka, we discussed the Gemara and I involve him in Aleph. Some of the details of Patsua Daka. There's a big question on Masor whether the word Patsua Daka should be spelled Daka, should be spelled with an Aleph or with a Hey. So different Sifrei Torah have it spelled differently. So the Shaila is, how can anybody say a Brocha when you get an Aliyah on any Sefer Torah? There's a 50-50 chance that your Sefer Torah is possible, because half of the Sefer Torah have an Aleph, half of the Sefer Torah have a Hey. So the Menchas Chinuch raises this problem. The Gemara says that the Sefer Torah shechasa yiriyah achas. If the Sefer Torah is missing a whole yiriyah, yiriyah means from one stitch to the other, has a few columns there, a few amudim. So the Gemara in Gittin says Sefer Torah shechasa yiriyah achas en karim bo betzibur. Obviously, you can't lay in that parsha that's missing. Why not? Can I lay in a different parsha? This week is Kiseitze, so it's missing a yiriyah in Dvarim, it's missing a yiriyah in Nitzavim, not in Kiseitze. So Taisvis is quoted, the Chuvus HaRidva quotes that Taisvis follows the Gemara, only Chosa Yiriyachas, anything less than that, you can't learn. We don't follow that. We follow the Rambam. The Rambam says, Sefetar Shechosa Oisachas, is Psula. Where did the Rambam get it from? The Gemara says, Sefetar Shechosa Yiriyachas. So the Zohar says like that. What the Rambam paskin based on Zohar? So that's a question. Every so often there's a line in the Rambam. The only source is the Zohar. One is Taken Yavamas. The Rambam says when you perform Chalitza, the Yavam should take off the shoe from the right leg of the Yavam and throw it away. Where does it say you throw it away? The only source is the Zohar. They say, obviously, the Rambam was reading Zohar. Or he got it from some other matters that we haven't yet discovered. Or maybe that was the Minig. See, right, whatever the source is. There are a couple of Rambams, but the only source is the Zohar. So here it's a problem. How do you How do you say a bracha? If we follow the Rambam, he can't learn Kriyas HaTorah, he can't say a bracha. How can anybody say a bracha on Kriyas HaTorah? Maybe the word Psula Daka is spelled incorrect. So the Minchas Chinuch has a famous suggestion that the later Poskim picked up on, and they say, we got to follow the Minchas Chinuch, we have no Breira. He says, if you spell the word incorrectly, then the whole Sefer Torah is possible. Tzuadako, Aleph and Hey are both correct spellings in Hebrew. If you look in a dictionary, you can spell the word Daka with an Aleph or with a Hey, either is good. The only question is, what is the Masorah? How are you supposed to? So if you spell the word in Chumash correctly, let's say if you spell Tzuadako with a Kuf instead of a Chaf, so that's incorrect. There is a word Daka with a Kuf, but here the word Daka is supposed to be spelled with a Kuf. So you spell with a Kuf, that the whole Sefer Torah will be possible. But the word Daka with an Aleph with a Hey, both are correct spelling. Just the one follows the Masorah, one doesn't. Just because he didn't follow the Masorah, the Menchas Chinuch is suggesting that that doesn't possible the Sefer Torah. If you can ascertain what the correct Masorah is, you should correct it. We don't know what the correct Masorah is. The one exception to the rule, he says, let's say you have a Kriya Ksiv. It's written, it's supposed to be written one way, and it's supposed to be read differently. So if you'll spell it correctly, let's say Ishacher Yishkaveno, and it says Yishgaleno. So you'll write Yishkaveno. That's the correct spelling, Yishkaveno. But it's supposed to be a Kriyaksiv. Gemara says Kriyaksiv. Gemara says in Adarim Daf Lamed Ches Kriyaksiv is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So then that'll puzzle. If you have a Kriyaksiv, that'll puzzle. So the later post can pick up on this Minchas Chinuch. They assume that's what we have no choice. We have to assume like that. We're Machshav all the Sifrei Torah. Whether it's spelled Psoadaka with a Hey, with an Aleph. So they just raise a question. The word Na'aro, most of the time in Chumash, is spelled Nun Ayin Resh. Most of the time it's not spelled Nun Ayin Resh. Once in a long while it's spelled Na'aro with a Hey. And the Gemara gives a whole drasha why. Na'aro, Nun Ayin Resh, is a Naira Chaser. Even a Ktana is included. Naira Nun Ayin Resh means that she's a Naira Shlema and a Ktana is not included. So that they raise a shaila, when you spell, let's say, in today said, Kiba Sada Mitzah, Sakoha Nara Hamaras Vemashiyalo. So Nara is spelled Nun Ayin Resh. Is that called the Kriya Ksiv? It's written Nara and you read it Nara. So if you'll spell it Nara, Nun Ayin Resh, the Sefer Torah will be puzzled because you violated the halacha of Kriya Ksiv. But you say, no, the two correct ways to spell the word Nara. In biblical Hebrew, you spell Nara with a Hey, without a Hey. Like the Tzuadaka is correct with an Aleph or with a Hey at the end. So that's a Dion if you assume like the Minchas Chinuch, where the Na'aro is considered the Kriya Ksiv, or no, the two correct ways of spelling the word. Then you have in today's Sedra, Lo Yovam Mamza Bikal Hashem is in Pasuk Gimel, and Pasuk Aleph, Likachi Shisei Shizov, Leigalak Nathavi. Half of the Masechta is here. Then you have the din of Mitzri Ve'adai Medor Shlishi. It's also in today's Sedra. Then you have Mayovi, Amoine Mayovi. Advar She'elokid Me'eschem Balechem Avamayim. The Torah gives the reason right next to the din. So therefore, whenever the reason doesn't apply, so then the din doesn't apply. So we say that by women, Amoine Vela Amoine is Mayovi Vela Mayovi, since the reason doesn't apply, so the whole din doesn't apply. These are all famous halachas. This is all from Masechas Yevamos. Everything from Yevamos. The Torah has a special din. The Jewish soldiers in the army, Kiseitze Machna Aloi Vecho, you have to be careful not to have Tzoa. You have to have Yosati Luchal Azinecho. You have to take a shovel. And whenever there's Tzoya Meraglam, you have to cover it up. And you should be careful. Yerbucha Ervas Dover, shouldn't have any Erva there. Ki Hashem Alakecha Misalech Mekerach Machanecha Lahatzilecha, because the Shechina is there. So the Yerushalmi has a machlokes, three different opinions. This is Yerushalmi, the end of the third perek in the end of the first perek in Erevin. The end of the first perek, the last daf in the first perek in Erevin has special dinim abo dvarim patru b'machane. There are four kulis that the Tanaim introduced in the Jewish army. So the Yerushalmi has a machlokes Tanaim. How many soldiers do you have to have together that should have the status of a machane? 10,000. 100, how many do you have to have? So the Chazon Ish thinks that we pass in 10. If you have 10, why? Kol be'asar shchin t'sharia. If you have 10 Jewish men who want to say Adov Shebikdusha, you can say Adov Shebikdusha. So here it says, Hashem alakech misalach b'kerach machanecha lahatzilecha. the Shekhinah will be there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises the Shekhinah will be there to help the soldiers fight and win the war. So Kol Be'asar Shekhinah Tashai, if you have 10 soldiers, what do I mean 10 soldiers? They have to be close to each other. If you have, let's say, 5 soldiers on one side of the Suez Canal, that was one of the shadows that they had in Mohammed Yom Kippurim. If you have 5 soldiers on one side of the Suez Canal, 5 soldiers on the other, can they daven tefillah b'tzibur? Can they be mitzdarif? Can they answer Kaddish Kedush and so on? Got a lot of shailas after the Mohammed Yom Kippurim. So that was one of them that they were working on. So how close did the soldiers have to be to each other? So we have a din in Shulchan Aruch based on the Gemara. If 10 people are in the same room, then mitzdarfim to a minyan. If you have 9 people in this room, 9 people in the hallway, 2 different rooms, so the Pashtus says that they're not mitzdarfim. Afilu roim zezeh. Roim zezeh is a din by benching mezumen. If you have 5 people in one room, 5 people in the other room, mitzasim roim elu eselu, then they're mitzdarfim to a mezumen. But to a minyan, it's very questionable. The Pashtus and the Gemara and Erevim for a minyan, they all have to be in the same room. So what if they're not in the room? What if on the field? They're on the field, outside. So how close do they have to be to each other that they should be mitzvah from Yachad? So this is a question never discussed. Interesting, never discussed. So the Chazon Ish came up with a fantastic Chiddush. Each soldier has to be within Shivim Amah v'Shiraim to the other soldier. 70 Amas, 70.2 Amas. So Shir and Erevin, they get the Pashim Shat Nigmar and Erevin, so Shir of houses to each other, houses that are attached to the ground. I would never have thought in a million years that it should apply to people Mitzurah to each other. I thought it's for the configuration of a city. Chazanish has this Chiddush. If the people are within Shivim Amah v'Shiraim to each other, they're on an open space, they're mitzdarfim to a minyan, and if the soldiers are near each other, 10 soldiers, he says, it has to be 10 soldiers or a roi to be mitzdarf to a minyan. If you have, let's say, an apikoris, the Rambam says in the Tshuva, an apikoris is not mitzdarf to a minyan, to say a dovish abigdusha, so an apikoris wouldn't be mitzdarf here for the army either. You wouldn't have the din of machane, the special din of bar dron potra ba machane. The Mishnah in the end of the first perik in Erevin, and the Chumash has dinim of machane Yisrael. He said, "Say machna alavech has to have a din of machna Yisrael." So the special din only apply if you have 10 soldiers who were constituted of shebig dusha, and they're bringing the shechina with them. We discussed just the other day the Yisr Eved and Shifcha. Is that an Issa deraisa and Issa derabbanan? So the Rambam writes that it's only an Issa derabbanan. Hey, oven ze kalbi anecho. You shouldn't make light of this Issa derabbanan. Sheri unkelus hager tirgame unkel. The Rambam quotes unkelus on this pasuk. A siyekdeisha b'nai tzisov liyakadosh b'nai Yisrael. A Jewish girl should not live with an eved kanaini because there's no tefisas kiddushin possible. And a man, a Jewish man, should not live with a shivcha kanaini because there's no possibility of tefisas kiddushin. That's how Unkelus translates it. The Rambam says, Unkelus put in a din derabbanan. He says, it's not a din deraisa. Hey, ovim ze kalbi anecha, shari Unkelus, I get tirgim on this pasuk. And Tosfos always assumes that what Unkelus says is the pshuto shel mikra, that is the issa deraisa. Then the Torah has the parsha of Nedarim. Kisida nedar l'Hashem alakecha, lo sa'acha l'shalmoi. So the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs counts as a mitzvah. That's in Parshas Matos. Whenever a person takes a neder or a shvua, lo yachol dvor is a lav. You're not allowed to violate the neder or the shvua. Chol hayotze mipiv yase is an essay. So the Rambam says this essay is the same as the other essay. Is a kefula mitzvah. The Rambam says if you have a mitzvah that's repeated several times in the Chumash, you only count it once in the minyan of mitzvahs. You don't count it more than once. So the Rambam says you only count once this mitzvah of observing the Nedarim and Shavuos. The Ramban is masig on the Rambam and the Sefer mitzvah. He says, what are you talking about? They're two different parshios. And Parshas Matos is talking about Nidri Horshus. A person takes a neder not to eat potato chips, not to eat cookies, not to eat candies, whatever. Here we're talking nidrei mitzvah. He takes a neder to bring a carbon to the Beis Hamikdash, takes a neder to give tzedakah to aniyim. So the Ramban Tainas, they should be counted as two different mitzvahs. One is an Iser essay, one is a Kiyam essay. If a person takes a neder to give tzedakah and then he ultimately gives the tzedakah, he has a mitzvah, he has fulfilled a Kiyam essay. What's with Sechet Tishma? He has fulfilled the neder. Number two, he gets a mitzvah for giving tzedakah, two different mitzvahs. But if a person takes a neder, let's say the family is having a bar mitzvah, and he's angry at the mother-in-law, so he takes a shvuah neder, he's not going to show up to the bar mitzvah, he's going to show the mother-in-law, so he gets a mitzvah for not showing up to the bar mitzvah. He gets an aver for taking such a neder. It's not a mitzvah. It's an iser asay. It's an Isra Asay. This Mutzah Sechet Tishma, this is a Kiyam Asay. The other Pasuk is an Isra Asay. Then the Ramban thinks there are another two differences between a Nidrei Mitzvah and Nidrei Hoshua. So he says, the Parsha of Lo Sa'achal Shalma only says here by Nidrei Mitzvah. If a person takes a neder to bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, he takes a neder to give tzedakah, then the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Davav has a whole discussion. He has to hurry up and fulfill the neder quickly, not to violate Bal Te'acher. So the Ramban writes, Bal Tachar only applies to Nidrei Mitzvah. It doesn't apply to Nidrei Hoshus. Let's say the fellow takes a neder, I will abstain from eating cookies for a period of a month. And I'll decide when I want the month to be. He can decide starting for tomorrow. He can start starting from Hanukkah. Start from Purim. Start from Pesach. So the Ramban says there's no Bal Tachar on that. This is against the Ran and the Dorim. The Ran and the Dorim writes that there's an Issa Bal Tachar even on Nidrei Hoshus. Not only on Nidrei Mitzvahs, on the side of that Ramban, Rabbi Kevega writes in the Masoret Hashas, in the Gilyan Hashas, Rabbi Kevega writes, look in the Ramban, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban holds that the lava Bal Te'achel, Sa'achel L'Shama, only applies to Nidrei Mitzvah. Then the Ramban has another difference. Says one is a Kiyam essay, one is an Iser essay, and Bal Te'achel is only by Nidrei Mitzvah. Then he has a third difference. By Nidrei Hoshus, you have to say, Hareni Nishba, Hareni Nodir, either in Hebrew or in some other language. When it comes to Nidrei Mitzvah, let's say they're making an appeal in Shul, he says $1,000. He didn't say, I accept upon myself a neder to give $1,000. He says, I will give $1,000. So he says, even though you didn't say, I accept a neder, he didn't say Loshen Neder, Loshen Shvua, by Nidrei Mitzvah, the Ramban is Mechadosh and the Gemara, it would appear that you don't have to say Hareni Nishba, Hareni Neder. You have to say it. That's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. What if a person is noider belave? What if a person takes a neder tzedakah belave? So we have machmer on that neder tzedakah belave is chum. Then the Torah has a din of ribis. So there's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. How do we mean, you're permitted to charge interest or you're obligated to charge interest? The Ravid says you're permitted to charge, l'anochi sashich means only to anochi. You're not allowed to charge interest if you lend to a Jew. And the Rambam says whenever you lend to anochi, there's a mitzvah to charge interest. If you lend to anochi, you don't charge interest. The Rambam holds him a batla mitzvah. And the Ravid thinks that he quotes a sifrei. And the rabbi thinks that's not what the Sefrei meant. The Sefrei meant zu mitzvus asei, means it's a lav abo mechlal asei. If one lends beribis to a Jew, not only is he in violation of the lois asei, lachich aloi sashich, he's in violation of the iser asei of lanachri sashich. So that's a machlik, is the Rambam and the Ravid, whether lanachri sashich really means it's a mitzvus asei. The Gemara has this exerim of the Rabbanon not to take ribis when you lend to an ochri, kadesh aliyomad b'maisov. You're gonna associate with nochrim in business. You're gonna pick up all the bad habits of the nochrim. So the Rabbi Natam was by profession a money lender. You don't make a parnasa if you don't charge any ribis. Obviously he charged ribis. Obviously he lent to non-Jews. So how does he deal with this Gemara? So Tesukot Rabbi Natam. He says, ideal would be that the Jews should live in a separate neighborhood. They shouldn't deal with any Nachum, they shouldn't live with the Nachum at all. We live in an integrated community. We live together with them. So he said, once you live together with the Nachum, so you can't tell him he's also to charge rivers. He's living anyway with the Nachum. That then applies if it's possible to break off contact completely, not to deal in business with the Nachum at all. So do so, and don't even lend them a river. Stay as far away as possible. But he says we can't. Under the circumstances, we can't. So he says, Exera de Rabbanan doesn't apply by us. That's what Tosfos quotes from the Rabbein and Tam. Then you have the Parsha of Gerishin. What? Those gzeiras still apply, yeah. How do they know which gzeiras fall off and which not? It's a very strong question. I don't know. Pasakum is also because it may lead to intermarriage. So that is still applies, yeah.
Doesn't the line on the Marko say that we shouldn't even take ribbons from a Nachri because it seems because that it will lead to taking ribbons from a Jew?
I don't know. The Rabbein and Tam says because Kadesh Aliyom of myself. So he says, but we have no choice. We always deal in business, but then I don't know. I have to look in the Gemara Matos.
And what about by
Eruvin?
When at least in one Rashi, when we say that the Spirit is for Gaim by the Bifur of Apple, so that we don't move into the neighborhoods?
Right. They made dinim that the Dira Sakam make, right? Then Dira Sakam, Dira Sbaim, but Dira Sakam doesn't ask that. But when the Rabban Le Yasid, the Nochri probably won't want to rent to us, so we won't be able to carry there on Shabbos, so we'll probably move out of the neighborhood. That's in order to encourage us from moving away from the Nochri. So that din still applies. Yeah. All the din still apply. Then the Torah has the Parsha of Gerishin, the Torah has the Parsha of Yotza V'Hoysa, Makish Havayli Yitzia. At the end of the Seder, you have the institution of Yibum. You have a packed Seder over here. This week is Parsha Zohar, the end of Kisetz is Chivas Amolek. So the Magen Avraham writes, if you missed Parsha Zohar, the Shabbos before Purim, that you lay in the Shabbos before Purim, that's a Takana de Rabbanan. But you have to lay in once a year, every year. The Sefer Chinuch writes, that may be the Din Derais. You have to hear Parsha Zohar once a year. So if one happened to miss Parsha Zohar, the Shabbos before Purim, so you can fulfill the mitzvah by listening today. This Shabbos, yeah. In addition to Parsha Zohar, Zechiras Amalek, this Parsha is another Parsha Zohar, Zechiras Chet Miriam. That's in Shishi, the sixth Aliyah. Zohar Eis Shvash Hashem Alkech LeMiriam Baderech Betzeischem in Mitzrayim. So the Magen Avraham quotes Yalkut Shemayne that this is a mitzvah in Torah, like Parsha Zohar. The lane Zechiras Chet Miriam, also once a year, every year. How come we don't make a whole fuss and have a special Haftarah and have a Shabbaton? Invite all the SOYs and invite everyone to come. So he said, it's a Gnai for the Tzadekis that make such a big fuss about Zechiras Chet Miriam. So we're just like we Yoytze Parsha Zohar, if you hear Parsha Kisetze, if you missed the Shabbat Zohar, so you can be Yoytze Zechiras Miriam by hearing Parsha Kisetze. But everyone should have in mind that that's a separate mitzvah. What exactly is the mitzvah Zechiras Chet Miriam? Why is it so important to remember that the Tzadekis did an Avera? So Rashi quotes from the Sifrei, we should remember how serious the Avera of Lashon Hara is. That even though Miriam loved her brother and she respected Moshe Rabbeinu, she didn't mean anything wrong. A lot of times a couple is married and the husband says Lashon Hara to his friends about his wife. The wife says Lashon Hara to her friends about the husband. They love each other, they're not thinking about getting divorced, they're happily married for 50 years. And they didn't mean anything wrong, and it's still an Issa Lashon Hara, even though they didn't mean anything wrong. They meant it as a joke. They don't mean that people should be mevayish their mevaza their spouse. So Miriam didn't mean anything wrong either, but still she spoke Lashon Hara, so she was punished. So we should remember how serious the aver Lashon Hara is. That even if you didn't mean anything, and even b'shoigeg, is still one may be punished seriously. Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over from Rav Kook in his Siddur Oilos Riya. Every so often he has some original insight. They have signs up downstairs that there's a chabura, weekly chabura on Rav Kook's writing. Okay. So Rav Kook has in the Oilos Riya a different suggestion, an additional suggestion. What is this Chiras Chet Miriam all about? That the Rambam lists off what he considers are the Yud Gimel Ikari Ha'amuna. So he lists off two different Ikarim. One Ikar is that we believe in the institution of Nevuah, that it is possible for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to communicate to man, and it's also possible for man to communicate with the Ribbono Shel'Olam, Tefillah. We communicate by Tefillah, he communicates by Nevuah. There are those who think that it's impossible. How can the infinite God communicate with the finite man? And we know we had Nevi'im. Historically, there were Nevi'im, and God tells us He shamea tefilas ama Yisrael. He listened to all the tefilas. Listen to the Jewish tefilas. Listen to the non-Jewish tefilas. We believe that there is tefilah. There is effectiveness of tefilah and effectiveness of nevuah. It is possible. Then the Rambam lists off as a separate yisoid in nevuah, separate ikir and emunah, that we believe that nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu was on the higher level than all of the other nevuahs. So what does he mean? He's giving a grade to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu gets an A plus for his nevuah, and no one else. He's the top of the class. He gets the prophecy award at graduation. He's the greatest navi of all time. What's the significance of saying he's the greatest navi? So Rav Soloveitchik developed an idea that runs as follows. In last week's Sedra, it says in Parsha Shoftim that if a navi will come and tell us something, elof tishmon, we have to listen to the navi, and whoever doesn't listen to the navi, anochi edrosh me'imo, I will punish him. So what has been anochi edrosh me'imo? So the Gemara says that it's a punishment of misa b'dei shamayim. The Gemara has a short list of averis. There are 36 krisos amuras b'Torah, 36 averis, and then there's a very short list, 10 or so, of averis that yichai misa b'dei shamayim. So the Menchas Chinuch is bothered with Akasha. Once you say that oivra divrei navi is chai misa b'dei shamayim, anyone who violates anything that Moshe Rabbeinu told us, Moshe Rabbeinu said you shouldn't talk lashon hara. Moshe Rabbeinu said you should wake up in the morning and say kriya shma bizmano. So if you're lazy and you sleep through Zman Kriyash Ma'ichai Misa V'dei Shamayim, how can it be? Whoever violates any aver or any mitzvah in the Torah is over al divrei navi. So what do you need a list of who's Chai Misa V'dei Shamayim? All the Taryag mitzvahs is over al divrei navi. Moshe Rabbeinu was a navi because he was the greatest navi. There'll be Shul Shani Zoche Hivsadati because the greatest navi, so it doesn't count. So the different terutzim given on this kash. So the standard terutz now is the terutz that Rav Soloveitchik said 70 years ago. That runs as follows. Oivad divrei navi means one who violates that tzivui b'toras nevuah. Nevuah means hayruah shor. So sometimes Moshe Rabbeinu gave hayruah shor. He told the people they're not allowed to leave over mon till the next morning. He told the people they have to knock on the next door neighbor's doors on Erev Pesach and ask for matonis before Yitzias Mitzrayim. That doesn't apply today. It doesn't apply in any other generation. They were hayruah shor. So the hayruah shor that Moshe Rabbeinu told instructions to the Bnei Yisrael, would be Chai Misa B'dei Shamayim. But whenever Moshe Rabbeinu told over a din that's Noig L'Doiris, that's called Oival Divrei Torah. That's not called Oival Divrei Navi. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi, but some of the things that he said are B'Toras Nevuah, and some of the things, most of the things that he said were B'Toras Torah. So Torah Mitzvahs has a whole system, which are Averis Afkaris, and which are Mises Bez, and which are Misa B'dei Shamayim. You don't say that because Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi, everything that he said, every sneeze that he said, Zayvah Divrei Navi by definition means one who violates a Hayra Shor of the Navi. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon HaNavim. That's what the Rama means. He was the only Navi who was given Dinim L'Doris. The other Navim were only given Hayra Shor. And the Rama emphasizes this in Pirush HaMishnayos and Gid HaNasha. He says that the fact that we today still continue to observe Bris Milah is not because it was given to Avraham Avinu. No, Avraham Avinu was a Navi. It was only given a Hayra Shor for a generation or two to observe Mitzvahs Milah. We today observe Mila because it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai. We today observe Gid HaNasha not because it was given to Yankov Avinu and the Malach broke his leg. That was only at that time a Hayra Shor. The mitzvah of Gid HaNasha was repeated again to Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai, and he told it to us that the only mitzvahs that are binding L'Doiris are those that are given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's what Rav Kook suggests. Maybe that's this Iker and Amuna. We should remember Zechiras Chet Miriam for the Lashon Hara aspect also, but mainly we should remember Zechiras Chet Miriam, that Miriam thought that Moshe Rabbeinu is the same as any other Navi. She didn't understand. I'm also a Navi. My brother's a Navi. We didn't have to get divorced. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu think that he had to get divorced from his wife? Who does he think he is? He thinks that he's high and mighty. He's a bigger Navi than anybody else. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, absolutely. Lo kein Avdi Moshe. That's in Parshat Baal Oscha. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNaviim. That's the Yisoid and Amuna that was developed in Parshas Baal Oscha right after the Chet of Miriam. So the Zechiras Chet Miriam is to remember this Iker and Amuna, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the only Navi who was given Dinim L'Doiris. All the Navim can be given Hayra Shor, but Dinim L'Doiris were only given to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara in the first daf in Megillah quotes a pasuk in Chumash to that effect. And the Marsha on the first daf in Megillah is not sure which pasuk the Gemara is quoting. Is it the concluding pasuk in Chumash Vayikra, or the concluding pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar, which are practically the same with slight differences? both psukim say Ela mitzvim zalchuk yamishpatim ashetziva Hashem es Moshe behar Sinai. So the Gemara understands Ela, these and only these are the mitzvahs. Ein lashon mitzvah la lashon ziris miyado ledoris. Mitzvah means binding forever. Ashetziva Hashem es Moshe. Only those that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu are binding ledoris. Those that were given to any other Navi are not binding ledoris. The Rambam had to make a big fuss about this. He didn't have the conservatives and the reform who were saying that the laws are no longer binding. In the days of the Rambam, they were only Orthodox Jews. He had to deal with the Christians and the Muslims. So they claimed that Osirish came and he gave a prophecy and he changed all the laws of the Torah. And Muhammad came along and he changed all the laws of the Torah. So the Rambam makes a big yikr and emunah. We believe Zas HaTorah L'Osim Ochlefes. The laws of the Torah are binding forever. That's exactly the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Shar HaNavim. What Moshe Rabbeinu said has a madrega of Torah mitzvahs binding l'doros. Other Navim only give Hayru Ashur. So that's what it means. That we live in a generation where we're not fighting with the Muslims. We're not fighting with the Christians. We're fighting with the conservative and the reform. They claim to be Jewish and they say that they didn't have the Torah not binding forever. Everything was a Hayru Ashur. Moshe Rabbeinu, everything was just Hayru Ashur. Nothing applies bisman hazeh. Shabbos and Kashos and Taras and Mishpach, everything is Hayru Ashur. So this is an Iker and Amuna. So those HaTorah L'Osim Mochlefes, the laws of the Torah don't change. That Iker, those HaTorah L'Osim Mochlefes, is identical with this, that the laws Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher level. Moshe Rabbeinu is the only one who was given Torah. The others were only given Nevuah, which means Hayru Ashur. Okay, so Sunday B'Tzoyis Hashem is a normal day, normal working day. So we're going to continue in Yevamos.
Dana Bukhanya says on this.